And we are on Twitter at the whatever at symbol, right. W2 Media. So up now, we have a very special guest, Shauna Singh Baldwin. She's an award-winning author whose books What the Body Remembers and The Tiger Claw won the Commonwealth Writers and Giller Prizes, respectively, about her new novel, Selector of Souls. I sat down with her last night out in Abbotsford before our reading at the University of the Fraser Valley. Here is Shauna Singh Baldwin. She lives in Wisconsin now.
Could you start off by talking a little bit about, why you wrote the book? What drove you to start it on this theme?
I didn't set out to write on this theme. I set out to write about two characters who kept coming back and asking me to tell their story. And I started off just with images and flashes of pictures in my mind and wondering what they were all about. And if I'd known that this was going to be the theme, the theme of sex selection, I don't think I would have started into it, because unfortunately, sex selection is about everything. It has to do with discrimination against women and the feminine in every form throughout life. And so it takes place not only in India, but also in Canada. And not only in the South Asian community, but also in the larger community. It has to do with the devaluing of the feminine. And in North America, actually people are using the technology to select for girls. So sex selection is not where I wanted to go, but I ended up there.
Now, you've never shied away from controversy before. And I mean,
no.
The Body Remembers was dealt with some very controversial topics. Why would this particular area cause you to hesitate?
Because it is about everything, because it permeates the culture so much, because there's so much research involved. But as I said, I don't think I would have set out to do it this way. But, you know, when you're following the characters, you're just following their story. And then it leads you into another form of research and another bit of research. And, oh, I've got to do an interview with so-and-so, and I've got to do some more digging in this area and read a whole book for this paragraph that I want to write. You know, so it just leads you down that path. So that's why it took me 7 years, whereas my previous two novels and two collections of short stories and even the nonfiction book, 2 years to do the writing, 2 years to do the actual editing and everything. You get to about a book every 4 years. This one's been longer.
Could you tell our listeners a bit about your book, just a brief synopsis of set the scene for us?
Sure. The story is about India in 1994 or so, where the country was changing. It was liberalizing, privatizing, globalizing, and becoming a hyper-masculine society. And eventually, the story takes us all the way to 1998, when India became nuclear. And the story follows Damini, who commits a terrible crime at the beginning of the novel, and then decides that she has to recover from it and balance her karma. She's a Hindu woman, and so this is her belief system, and she needs to balance out her life. And then the second character in the book, her name is Anu, and she leaves an abusive marriage and decides to seek a divorce and join a convent. And so these women take some very radical steps, they end up coming together physically, but they are philosophically very different, and so especially in their belief system about when life begins. And so we see them moving through this whole trauma and learning to overcome this debate, and at great personal cost to both of them, and then trying to figure out how to help girls and women survive.
Now, when you look south of the border to where you live, you know, there's a sort of moral deadlock, it seems, around the issues of when life begins. For instance, it's coming up in the presidential election. And right. Yet at the same time, many people, and you might disagree, but many people would look to South Asian communities and sort of single them out for criticism in terms of, you know, that kind of cultural racism that says, oh, well, they're doing all these bad things, we need to criticize that. What's that balance for you, and how do you wrestle with those issues?
I think the important thing is to concentrate on the individual. And where you get tribal thinking, you get some very strange reactions about them and us and those kinds of things. So I was writing about, for example, Hindu Aryan supremacists, who are the nemesis in this novel, that the two women face together. And lo and behold, in August, there were white Aryan supremacists who came into our Gurdwara in Milwaukee and ended up shooting six people. So this one person decided that the them was going to be the Sikhs at this point, okay? But the them in my book turns out to be the Christians. So everybody's got a them and an us. The question is, what do we do as individuals? How do we make our moral choices as individuals? And that's where we need to concentrate instead of these very philosophical, you know, theoretical debates. The question is, how do we make a moral choice at every moment to value the feminine, to value nurturing, caring, compassion for another person? So I can see tribal thinking in any society, and the novel always follows the individual.
Hmm. Now, maybe we could talk for just a minute about the Wisconsin shootings, because that had a big impact up here as well. There was vigils in Vancouver and Surrey. There was an anti-racism forum that came out of that. People really mobilized around that incident, but it was very close to home for you.
It was very close to home for me, particularly since I've been writing about Aryan supremacy for 7 years and how women are basically facing it in India, and then of course this happens very close to me. But at the same time, the outpouring of support from the non-Sikh community was so empowering to all of us. There were contingents of people who came from Vancouver and from Montreal and from Toronto and from Oregon and California. And they came just to support us and just to help us clean up the Gurdwara, from the bloodstains on the floor to the main hall, you know, and the carpeting had to be removed and everything. And these people came from nowhere and just all pitched in. So not only the Sikh community, but the non-Sikh community also came around and said, this is not right. You know, we have to overcome the we-them thinking and start to think about each other as individuals. And I also realized from going through this event how important community is, but at the same time that each person has a choice to make about whether they're going to treat other people as human or not.
My last question is, how does literature have the power to potentially transcend or to overcome these challenges?
I don't know that literature has a function in here. I've never felt more useless in my life, I will tell you, because I've been writing for 20 years, and believe me, neo-Nazis are not reading my novels. And it was very painfully obvious at the time. But what is obvious also is that if you are open to fiction, certainly you can expand your empathy. And I had to expand my empathy to write this novel. I had to find the love somewhere to portray some characters who are very different from myself, and to actually follow them through and say, you know, these are very broken people, and how do we actually get around the fact that people are so different and must be accommodated in society, right? So so I learned empathy from writing the book, and I hope that people get a greater expanded soul from reading the book.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Media Mornings.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Shauna Singh Baldwin, the author of a new book, The Selector of Souls, and also award winner of the Commonwealth Writers and Giller Prizes for her previous work, including What the Body Remembers, speaking to me last night at the University of Fraser Valley in